We're continuing to look at a man and his wife and the biblical view of marriage. And last week we looked at the passage out of 1 Peter. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. And we said that that understanding way meant according to knowledge, since she is the weaker vessel. So we grant her, therefore, honor as a co-heir in the grace of life. So 1 Peter, as far as I understand the scripture, it's kind of like the ground zero of Bible passages that speak to men about their role as husband in the marriage. And this idea of living with her in an according to knowledge is the whole point of why we study. We want to know her and understand her as best we can because she's different. And we said there were three views of marriage last week. We talked about the top-down traditional, which we said was the approach that most people think is biblical, but unfortunately the way it has been practiced over the years is not biblical at all. It's more the husband is the lord of the manor instead of the servant leader to the family. We talked about last week the 50-50 mythical marriage. That is what is popular today, what people tell us we should do, where the husband and wife are both equal. The 50-50 mythical is the idea that we're equal and that everybody's equal and therefore everything we do is going to be equal. And this is what the feminists have put forward. And the truth is, women and men are not equal. We are equally valued by God, but when it comes to relating to each other, there's certain things that she's going to do 100% better than the man. And there are certain things the man's going to be able to do 100% better than the woman simply because of how God's designed and made us. So we believe that the 50-50 mythical marriage is a fallacy. And then what we want to be talking about is the biblical view of marriage, which we think gives us certain responsibilities, and we called them last week core roles, and that's on the top of your listing sheet there. We looked at a couple of verses. We found her role, and remember these two words come straight out of Scripture. The helper in Genesis, the helpmate, and then he's the head in Ephesians. So as the helper, we said that meant servant lover. And in Titus, we find this passage, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So she's to be the helper, which means servant lover. He, on the other hand, is to be the head, which means the servant leader. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So we're to lead as Jesus led, which is absolutely, totally against the way the world leads. It's not a top-down management scheme. It's a leadership through service. And so that's where we want to look to begin today. Those were the core roles. Now the core responses. These core responses are the primary responses that a man gives to the woman and that the woman gives to the man as each of us perform our roles. So the head, his response to the helper is praise and honor. He is to give her praise and honor. And then the helper is to give to the head submission. So for years we've taught that the man's role is the head and the woman's role is to be submissive. But we missed, I think, something about that. The way we do this is she has stepped back and she knows that she's valuable. And she needs to know that you know she's valuable and significant. If she's going to give you submission, then you give her praise and honor so that she understands that you understand her submissiveness and that it has a price for her. And if you give her that praise and honor, then she will be happy and fulfilled in her role of submissive. And the idea here, many women today go to work simply to get a paycheck because that paycheck gives them the value of their significance. So they know they're appreciated because they see that they're worth something to somebody. And some men have made the mistake of never letting their wife know they're appreciated. And think about it now in the reverse. As a man, if you do the dishes or you do something that's outside of your characteristic role, she gives you all kinds of praise, right? I mean, if I wash dishes at my house, we're going to have a ticker tape parade. I mean, it's big stuff, all right? And Pam acknowledges that that's big stuff. But on the other hand, when she does things in her role, often we take her for granted. We don't even acknowledge it, and that's a huge mistake on our part. Notice what the guy in Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs 31 is about this, all about the woman, the godly woman, the woman of virtue. And so she's mentioned most often. But then notice what the wise husband of this wise woman does. In verse 29, it says, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Those words are spoken by the husband of the virtuous woman. So there is a role even in here for the man praising her and giving honor to her for doing all that she does. So those are the core responses. The head to the helper, praise and honor. The helper to the head, submission. Now, these core concerns. Now, there are four issues that a woman needs and we should be concerned with giving her as the husband. And the reverse is also true. So let's look at the head to the helper. The head should be concerned for the helper about companionship, security, significance, and emotional responsiveness. So, first, companionship. Companionship is what the man needs to be giving to the woman. The second thing he needs to be giving her is security. And the third thing he needs to be giving her is significance. And then last, he needs to give her emotional responsiveness. These are the four keys that will help you stay tuned in to her and her tuned in to you. Now, you got those? Companionship, security, significance, and emotional responsiveness. Now, we're going to talk more about those in a minute. At the top of the page there, this is the what the man needs in the relationship from the woman. And again, the first one is companionship. Both of us need companionship. Remember, God said when he created Adam and then when he created Eve that it was not good that the man should be alone. So companionship in marriage is a huge piece. The second thing a man needs from a woman is admiration. You need her admiration. Thirdly, you need her support. And fourthly, remember we said she needed emotional responsiveness. You need physical responsiveness. And we'll talk more about those later. But now, D, how a man speaks woman. And I don't know any other way to say that. We're talking about learning how to understand her, learning what her needs are, learning how to respond to her. You got to learn her language. Remember there's that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. So it's really like learning another language. So when we say that a wife needs companionship there, so we're going to talk about each of those four again. So those blanks, if you've got them on the front, you've already got those, the words. A wife needs companionship. The number one complaint of wives in marriage is that my husband won't spend time to talk with me. Now that's her number one complaint. God made her a relational creature, and in marriage, much of her feelings of well-being come from how well she is relating to you. So if she can't talk to you, she's going to feel like she's disconnected. She's going to feel like she is absolutely running off track all the time. Now, if you remember, you were glad to be her companion while you were wooing her, while you were courting her. You were glad to be with her. And then you get married, and suddenly the well goes dry. Well, why is that? There's a Valentine card that put it this way. On the outside is a very romantic looking, you know, card. It says on the outside, if you love something, set it free. You know, if it returns to you, then it's truly yours. If it disappears, then it wasn't, you know, that kind of thing. Then you open it up on the inside of the card, and on the inside of the card, there's something, you don't really know what it is, just sitting there watching TV. Unaware that it, and it says, the caption says, if you set it free and it hasn't realized it has been set free, then you probably are married to it. And so much of the time, the guy is sitting there just glued to the tube. That becomes his passion. That becomes his obsession. And he leaves his wife alone. Now, what she really needs when she's wanting to talk to you, she does not need you to solve her problems. She needs you to listen to her problems. And that, I think, is why most guys don't do this. They just don't want to listen. She needs you to sit down, shut up, and listen. 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 That's what she... You'll be her hero if you can learn how to listen. And when she finishes telling you something... You know, you ought to come in and ask her, tell me how your day was, baby. And then sit there and listen. And when she finishes, then say, what else happened today, baby? And sit there and listen. You will be her hero. It ain't brain surgery or rocket science, guys. It is simply caring. No, no.
No.
Yes, sir. That's because there's a huge deficit. Allow her to talk, and she will talk less, but you need to listen. I promise you, a wise man would listen to me tell you to listen to her. Yeah. No, can't do that. No, that don't work. That don't work. She needs to know you're listening. She needs to see your eyes. The second thing she needs is security. She needs to know that her man is taking care of her. And if you're taking care of her, then she is free to fulfill her feminine calling. She needs to know that her man is going to do that. And that doesn't mean that she doesn't work. Okay? Security means that you're on her side and that she knows that you want what's best for her. Not saying that she's not ever going to go outside the home and work or anything like that. Okay, that's not it. It's that y'all are together in this as a team. There's a book, His Needs, Her Needs, that I use an awful lot in counseling, and I think it's right on. And in that book, the author, he finds that even married women who make a lot of money resent having to work. Now, the key is the word resent. They resent having to work. They don't resent going to work. Some women, no matter how much they make, the husband expects them to work. You know, just having the option. And you have to work that out yourself. Everybody does that themselves. George Barna has found that 9 out of 10 young men under 30 today believe that the wife should work all through life, regardless of the circumstances. And that's up to you. Now, Pam and I, we found that when our children were young, she didn't work because it was better for the kids. You know, it was easier and cheaper, but better for the kids. Why pay someone else to take care of your children? But as soon as they reached school age, she went to work. Because my wife's not a homemaker in the sense of some. She's an educator, and she loves to do that, and she's fulfilled by doing that. So if they're working because they want to, is different than working because they are expected to. Now, working because they have to, because it takes two incomes to make it work, that they don't mind. It's working when they are expected to work by, you know, you, and not appreciated for it. The third thing a wife needs is significance. This is where you grant her honor as a fellow heir. You know, we're not, some guys mistakenly think buying her a new car and giving her a charge card, that that helps her fulfill herself. That's not what we're talking about. This is you letting her know that you appreciate her. You're like that guy from Proverbs 31. You are giving her praise and honor. You're her fan. And the fourth thing is emotional responsiveness. Now, she lives in a world of feelings, and you don't. Okay? You're not a very feeling creature. If you were, the world would have never, you know, been conquered. You'd have stayed at home. God created us differently. She is a creature of feelings. And pouring out those feelings is what she wants to do to you. So one and four kind of go together. Companionship is your being with her. Emotional responsiveness is you're listening to her while you're with her. Okay? Let her pour all that out. She needs to. And if you don't let her, you're going to be dumb. And the last thing there, and this is real simple. This is worth the price of admission, guys. Practical application. I don't know if you've been in sales, but know your customer. And I'm trying to get you to look at your wife as your customer. Know her. Know what she needs. Know what makes her tick. And deliver the goods. And if you'll deliver the goods, you will have a great marriage. And if you'll just come in and tell that, you know, tell me about it, honey. How was your day? And sit there and listen. And when she finishes, tell me some more, baby. What else happened today? Trust me, guys. You will wish, you will have a PhD in woman, and you'll be her biggest fan. In the morning before you leave, I'm going to have a little graduation. Right. Yep, you were paying attention. That's right. That's what that proves. I love that, Rob. You hear that, Rob? Said he's read the questions for small group discussion. He's got A's and everything. I like that. But and that's it's really simple, and it goes back to caring, you know, and that's how you show them you care. And she shows you other ways. Well, thank you, guys. Scott, I'm glad that even though you have a lab work you couldn't eat, that you came on.